I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Yeah, we got to just build. We have to build. He gives us he gives us a lot of potential to grow in. I think that's what's the greatest thing about Drake. He's doing things that you don't really see at a young age. So I'm very excited, and you know, I want to be better for him. I think everybody understands in our offensive room that we have something in him that can make everybody better. You know, he, like I talked about, he has the aura to him. You just know that he's going to go out there and do his thing. He's going to play. He's not scared. And that's somebody you want to follow.
Patriots wide receiver Kendrick Bourne with some due praise for quarterback Drake May in the postgame today. We're back with the Six Rings Postgame Show live on WEEI. And don't forget, the Six Rings Postgame Show is brought to you by McFarlane Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. It's all at McFarlaneEnergy.com. All right, that's great that he's got the aura, that people want to make plays for him. How come they can't make the plays for him when it matters, Andy?
Because they're not very good.
Is it really that simple?
I think it is. I think they are lacking talent, lacking proven talent.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
No, I want to get into it, and I'm quite comfortable getting into it. You know, I was texting back and forth with someone, and they were like, is Kendrick Bourne the most overrated player on this team? Like, everybody keeps expecting him to do something. And a couple of years ago, I remember Mutt, when I was doing shows with him at night, was like, this guy's Debo Light. And I thought he was a pretty good player. Now I know he's coming off the ACL. But, I mean, that doesn't
I felt similarly.
Start.
I'll be honest. I get the take.
He's kind of not that good. And they're all kind of not that good. The only guy on this offense that's any good right now, in my opinion, is Hunter Henry. Ramondre Stevenson has not run overly productively. The receivers all have their ups and downs. I don't personally believe that DeMario Douglas is consistent enough. Like, looking at his 7 catches, 9 targets, 35 yards today. 5 yards a catch, A, not good enough. The bad drop late, not good enough.
Yeah, the late drop was tough. I mean, I know that was
bad.
That was a fastball coming in pretty hot.
Yeah,
but
you're an NFL receiver. That's your job. You stand in front of a jugs machine and they shoot it at you really fast. You have gloves that make it cheating. I watch other receivers make incredible catches with those gloves on and in those situations. Like, I'm sorry, and they're not the only ones. I mean, who was 85 on Tennessee? That interception on Tavai was one of the worst drops you'll ever see.
Okonwo.
That was a horrific drop, basically in the same situation.
Yeah, that was almost going to be a touchdown. Maybe this shouldn't have even gone to overtime in the first place.
Schlereth was like, it was a little high. What do you mean it was a little high? It was right up where you want it. Like, put the triangle together and catch the damn football. Like,
yeah, whatever happened to high-pointing a ball and keeping it away from a defender?
It was a perfect throw, in my opinion, and you got to catch that. And the Patriots, you know, benefited from it with the deflection and the Tavai interception. But, no, I don't know who you count on right now. Jalen Polk, nope.
No, Jalen Polk thinks that it's more important to hold the other team as opposed to footballs.
Yep, at least he can hold on to the other team, if not footballs. We can keep taking shots at him. His gloves were sticky there. Oh.
Do you think Jalen Polk will make a meaningful contribution the rest of the season?
Yes, because I do think he's better than this. Now, has he reached the point? Now, I know he says he doesn't have a mental hurdle or whatever that Gerard Mayo. I agree with Mayo. He's got whatever, the yips. He's sad. He's depressed. He's got a confidence issue. He's got a mental hurdle. However you want to package it, He ain't right between the ears right now. That's affecting his ability because he's better than this physically, but mm-hmm. the physical is not being allowed to actually work, to actually take hold.
He's thinking too much. He's not actually just playing and reacting. He can't because he's probably always worried about, oh, am I going to drop this? Am I in the right spot? What should I do here? And like, if you can't just react naturally and you're always thinking, you'll be a step slower. You may drop the ball. Hesitation, I truly believe, is the worst enemy of an athlete.
He needs
in a game.
A blanket party or something. He needs just like a wake up. You ever do the thing?
A blanket party? What do you got? I wouldn't recommend a full metal jacket on him?
You ever have a friend that has the hiccups, so you karate chop him to the throat and it stuns him so much that the hiccups go away? I feel like he needs that before a play. Like DeMario Douglas,
what
just
friends
turned
to did you
chop.
Grow up with?
I was going to say, how do they handle this in the South Coast? Jeez.
It works. Karate chop to the throat. You don't want to hit the Adam's apple because you can do damage.
Really? Oh, you don't want to karate chop someone to the Adam's apple? Okay. Duly noted, Joe.
Unless you need to. If it's the right situation and you need to.
Scare them, make them laugh, drink water, karate chop to throat.
Yeah,
it works.
Who's your hiccups instructor? Liam Neeson? Jesus.
No, it's Giselle's. What do you call it? Baby Dada.
Baby Daddy. Jiu-Jitsu. Johnny Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Karate champ. Whatever
they
call.
That's my guy.
Oh, he's your dude.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Back to the phones we go. Let's see. Here's my dude, Big Al in Georgia. Hi, Big Al.
Hey. Good evening, boys. Listen, just for the record, I believe I have located. Fitzyville on a map. It's just to the north of Funky Town.
I will gladly take you there anytime you want, Big Al.
Listen, I do like the make hit. I mean, obviously for everybody, the same reasons everybody's saying, he never gives up on a play. He never gives up. Not just the last play, but several other examples you could point to earlier in the game. He keeps them alive. And I'm not ready to put him with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. I think those are special talents. It's hard to match those guys. But, you know, the last really mobile quarterback you could say the Patriots had, if you don't count the Cam Newton season, would probably be Steve Grogan. And Steve Grogan used to run a lot of these designed runs, the bootlegs, the quarterback draws where they'd spread the field and he'd go up the middle and the quarterback sweeps even like the kind of the old single wing type stuff. And I'm wondering if that type of stuff would work with this kid, and it might be more of a designed run. You're less worried about his health than you would be where he's kind of running for his life. And you figure, oh, just one good whack and, you know, he's done for the year and maybe longer or whatever. But I wonder if we can't use him more like a Steve Grogan. And not worry about whether he's as good as Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, who are, you know, special players. But anyway, thanks a lot, fellas. Have a great night.
Thanks,
you
Al.
You as well. Thanks for the call, Big Al. The Steve Grogan comps are going to be natural. Like,
I mean, this was the most yards by a quarterback rushing in a Patriots uniform since Steve Grogan in 1977. I mean, that's the immediate comp. Now, if they were trying to win games, I'd be all for it because I think it's a weapon. If you were Josh Allen and the debate that goes on every year in Buffalo, like, hey, run less during the regular season, but let's keep that in our back pocket if we need to do that with the season on the line in January, absolutely. But for the way they're playing now, I don't think you want to be – I kind of agree with Alex Van Pelt. I don't think you want to be doing a lot of designed runs. I get Al's theory that it's more sort of theoretically controlled environment. He's planning to run. He knows what direction he's running. Everybody's blocking. Again, in theory, they're blocking for him because ask Ramondre Stevenson how it works when they drop plays that they're supposed to block and create holes. Doesn't always work. But I don't think you want to be doing that. And you're going to develop this guy as a thrower. You want him throwing 85% of the time or whatever. And then there was 15% of the time where he's an athlete, mm-hmm. he's a scrambler, and he does all those things, or you have a few designed runs.
I could do a 5-for-1 split. So, you know, 83-84% of the time. That would work for me.
But right now, I mean, can they do anything on a designed level? I don't know. With this line, we're back to that. Like, can they design runs that work? No. Can they design passes that work?
I thought we were past-ish this. And
well, that's because Mayo misled everybody again. He told me it wasn't a problem. In August, he said it was, quote, overblown, all the concerns on the offensive line. Then the offensive line stunk to start the year, and it was blown properly. And then you come back around, and he told us recently that the offensive line had actually developed into a strength of the team. It is not a strength of the team. It is not good. It is not talented. It is not nearly enough, Elliott Wolf.
Coach Mayo, do you think it was blown properly?
It was inflated. Speaking of,
that's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Okay, thanks very much.
It's almost time for Christmas inflatables.
I know, time is coming. We took in all the Halloween ones now, but like it was a hasty taking in and retraction of the Halloween ones. But now you got to clean them all off. Then you got to fold them properly and make sure the fans are tucked away and the cords are wrapped up. That's a whole thing. Then you got to pull the spider webs and all the rest of the crap off the front lawn. You get barely a day or two's rest. And then the kids are like, put up the inflatable Santa,
damn
man.
Damn right.
You know, how many inflatables deep do you guys go on the front lawn?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
I mean, we're probably in the, when you include the big ones and the small ones, somewhere in the 10 range-ish.
10?
But it changes year to year because I don't know about you, but I have bad experiences. Like, you put them away and they work, and then you take them out the next year and you plug them in and they don't work. And, like, you're trying to change fuses and bulbs. And
the nylon cracks. And
yeah, something. There's a, it's inflated, but it's only semi-inflated. There's a hole in it, like some seam ripped or something. So I'm going to Home Depot or Lowe's and buying a new one. I usually try to buy one or two new ones every year to make up
for
the ones.
That's fun for the kids when you buy a new one, too.
The kids? Oh, they're supposed to be involved?
One more call before the break. Let's make sure we get to him because I know it's Monday morning where he's calling from and he's probably got a full day ahead of him. Jake is in Australia. How'd you enjoy that one today, Jake?
That was as much... Oh, the ending was more fun than my six-month-old waking me up at 4 a.m. But, yeah, it's good to see we've got our guy.
You're damn right we got our guy. And now I keep cautioning people that, you know, I think Tennessee at times last year thought they had their guy, and now I don't think they have their guy in Will Levis and, you know, various other people. But, no, I think all signs are pointing toward an upward trajectory at the quarterback position, and you don't have to go back into that carousel.
It is. It's looking good. But I want to call out Jake. Boston Jake.
What the hell are you doing back there, Jake?
So I'm at work pulling stuff out of the back of the ute.
Ute? The two utes?
Our small pickup.
Oh, okay, gotcha. See, you just need to speak.
Utility vehicle.
Oh, the ute.
Sorry. Different language down here, isn't it?
It is.
That's all right. We do everything differently in New England anyways. You know that. So yeah, go ahead with your point on previous caller Jake from Boston's point on AVP.
Boston Jake saying how AVP is doing great with May. Should it not be TC McCartney doing great with May? Because, God, AVP is doing nothing with the offense to actually do anything at all. So I just thought, yeah, maybe it's the quarterback's coach helping the quarterback and AVP just letting the team down like he seems to be doing consistently.
I personally give Alex Van Pelt a lot of credit for Drake May's development. I think he's doing a good job. I do think he is the primary voice and the instructor of the techniques and footwork and things that they want to do. It's the game planning and play calling where I think it goes sideways. But I also need to be fair because I, at times a year ago, made excuses for Bill O'Brien, who I like, saying the line stinks and the receiver stinks. Other than that, how do you create a good offense when you go into a game knowing that? And I think Alex Van Pelt is dealing with the same issues. The line stinks and the receivers stink.
It's a fair question indeed.
This is true.
Yeah. All right, Jake, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you as always. Have a great Monday.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too. Jake. Thank you.
Enjoy that ute. the old ute.
Now I know that. Like, we learn a little something every week when Jake checks in from down under.
And I'm going to call I have a small pickup truck, so I'm going to call it a ute. Honey, I'm going to take the ute down, pick up some beers.
And then she's probably going to say, like, you are not taking our son and daughter to go get beers. You will do nothing of the sort.
It's pickup truck in Australia. She'll be like,
hey, how do you do Friday night, by the way, in the final regular season game?
Good win. Very good win. Playoff brackets came out today. Big one this coming Friday night, hosting Milton. Milton bumped us from the playoffs last postseason. Ooh. It's a revenge game.
It's a revenge game.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
But it's in our house this time. We must protect this house.
South Shore traveling to the South Coast once again. That went pretty well last time when Braintree went down to Dartmouth and you guys absolutely waxed them.
That's what we're hoping for, baby. Home field advantage. Bring it on.
Game on Friday night too, man.
Don't F it up.
See, that's the problem. I got it all week long.
It's all on you. I know you got the horses. You got the talent. I've gotten scouting reports. If you lose, it's all about coaching. That's what I've been told.
Man, it's going to be in my head all week.
You better have a good game plan. Don't AVP it.
I already can't sleep. Is it how much of it, though, like when your team has done very well up to this point, how much of it should be, well, they've seen us before, and so they may have a plan to stop what we do very well versus, come on, it's, you know, grade 5-6 flag football. Just do what you do very well.
Oh, do what you do very well, but you better have a plan B with some wrinkles.
Okay. So there should I should go with what we go with and do what we do.
Correct. It got you there. Do what you do. If they stop it, don't scratch your head, scratch your bum and go home a loser. Have a plan B.
Have a plan B. Got to back pocket that action. That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to overthink it, but I also didn't want to underthink it.
Lead with what you do. Mm-hmm. Play to your strengths. Absolutely. Play the hits. And if the hits fall a little flat, you better be ready to go.
There we go. All right. And that's one to grow on, kids. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, we'll talk about who we could see getting shipped out of town by November 5th as the trade deadline in the NFL is just 2 days away. We'll also get to Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, cards for kids, player of the game. Holy smokes. For only an hour's time to go, there's still a whole lot of Six Rings postgame show coming up. And that will now be led by the award-winning Trending Sports News of Joe Braverman.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Fitz, you like the first one. How about this one? The Patriots went down to Nashville to the Music City and were feeling the blues after a 20-17 overtime loss to the Titans. What? Not a good one?
It's great.
I've been hanging out with you way too much.
There's no
not
such
a good thing.
Hey, pipe down there.
Okay, well, anyway, 2017 overtime loss by the Patriots. Drake May came back after the Titans took a late 17-10 lead and a miraculous throw with 5 seconds left. He found Ramondre Stevenson to force overtime. Nick Folk in OT gave the Titans the lead with a 25-yard field goal. Then Amani Hooker intercepted May on the following drive, one of two picks for May on the day to Hooker. May finished 29-41 passing, 206 yards, a touchdown and two picks. He also was the team's leading rusher. He rushed for 95 yards on 8 carries. The road trip will continue for the Pats next week as they head to Chicago to face top overall pick Caleb Williams and the Bears from Soldier Field. Some other scores going around in the NFL for week 9. The Bills used a last-second game-winning 61-yard field goal for Tyler Bass to beat the Dolphins at home, 30-27. Bengals topped the Raiders 41-24. Chargers beat the Browns 27-10. And the Panthers got a 1-point victory over the New Orleans Saints, 23-22. Some games going on right now. We've got the Seahawks leading the Rams at home 13-10. The Lions are destroying the Packers 24-3. And the Cardinals are up on the aforementioned Bears 27-9. And just another note, the Eagles 22-16 over the Jaguars. The Sunday slate of games wraps up with the Colts battling the Vikings. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. The Bruins are back home. They're on the second night of a back-to-back taking on the Seattle Kraken. Midway through the second period, it is 2-0 Bees. Bees got two goals from Justin Brazo and a power play from Charlie Coyle back in the first period to give them that edge. And the Celtics continue their road trip tomorrow in Atlanta against the Hawks. But the big news in this association is the league opening investigation into Sixers all-star Joel Embiid after shoving a Philadelphia columnist during last night's game in the locker room. I should say after last night's game. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Jason Benetti alongside Mark Schlereth on the call today. And if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEI, you can see Andy Hart in the basement of his South Coast studio doing his Funky Town dance.
Well, according to Jake in Australia, this is where Fitzyville is.
It's near. No, it was Big Al in Georgia. He said Fitzyville is right outside Funky Town.
Yeah, neighboring towns.
Yeah, they're
big rivalry in high school sports.
Huge. You don't want to be at the Fitzyville versus Funky Town.
The best.
I've been to a lot of rivalries in my day, I will tell you, and at Fitzyville versus Funky Town, the best. I got a question for you, Andy. That was an amazing play that Drake May did, but of course, the talent surrounding him, not great. And I just saw this Savage Sports just put this out, just kind of asking the masses, and I retweeted it, and I would like to get your initial feeling. Right now, we are just past the halfway point. Well, no, we're nine. They're nine games into a 17-game slate, but it's 9 weeks into an 18-week schedule. So we are at the exact halfway point of the Patriots' 2024 schedule.
I was told there'd be no math.
Okay, I did it for you. You're welcome.
Not well.
I just did. I even explained it. You.
What, my what?
Casual. All right, listen, we're halfway through the friggin' season, okay? God have mercy on all of us.
Does that math make math?
Hey, Coach Mayo, do you think I'll ever have a co-host that doesn't make me crazy on this show?
Nope.
Now, that's just a straight no.
Okay,
it's not a great question.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get
it. Nope, that's just a no.
That was just a no. All right, so just quickly right now, look at the Patriots draft picks. So, I know it takes a couple of years to properly or supposedly to give a proper evaluation of an NFL draft. But right now, obviously, A++++++++++ for Drake May, and then everyone else. You got Polk at 37, Caden Wallace 68, Laydon Robinson 103, Javon Baker 110, Marcellus Dial 180, Joe Milton 193, Jaheim Bell 231. So what overall grade does that give the Patriots 2024 draft right now?
C.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was
you
thinking
hit the
C
one
plus,
that matters.
C plus maybe. Yeah.
No, not a C. No one else has done anything of any value. You're riding. Basically, the question
Polk gave us a lot to talk about.
Yeah, but he's not useful in any way as a football player, and I believe that's his profession. I believe that is the business he has chosen, unfortunately, for him and for us. The only guy that I can't really say anything negative about is Joe Milton. Because he's just kind of working behind the scenes, winning practice, player of the week honors when they get wins. Other than that, nice smile, nice natural leader, all the things we're hearing about him. He's the only one that's failed to really do anything that he's supposed to, because there's really no opportunity for him to do anything. The others? Nope. Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Dunsky. Zero. Zero.
Yeah, it's not great, honestly.
Terrible.
Now, of them all...
Yeah.
Let's run through them once again. The picks after Drake May. We have great expectations for the Drake.
Get but the boos that, ready. You got a boo sounder you can just play?
Between Polk, Wallace, Robinson,
boo.
Baker, Dial, Milton, Bell, who among them do you expect to actually turn it around or make a proper contribution, a positive contribution this season?
I guess I'll leave Laydon Robinson in there.
Whoa.
Maybe Jaheim Bell, does he get some reps? Maybe they get so sick of the receivers. Joe Milton. No, we don't want Joe Milton, because if Joe Milton's in there, everything went horribly wrong along the way somehow. So, no, Joe Milton doesn't get to play. Nope, zip, zilch.
It's going to take Jalen Polk a while to get out from underneath the blanket of his own doubt and indecision. So
yeah.
that's a thing.
Javon Baker. No.
What are they doing with Baker? I don't get it.
He doesn't get it either.
No, apparently not.
The game of football, I mean, and right. being a professional.
NFL
and
football.
Playbook yeah. and all of the things that go with it.
Because he's active today and then does nothing. Did you
was
even see him out there?
Was he active?
Well, he wasn't, put it this way, he wasn't inactive.
They gave him a jersey and helmet theoretically, but did he put it to use? I'm not sure he can say he did.
He caught the ball in the kickoffs and forced the touchbacks. That's
oh my
all
God.
He did.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out, though. You just reminded me of something. Go back and watch.
Of Stranger Things? Okay.
No. He caught a kickoff and was going back towards the back end line of the end zone, and he like tried to tap his feet to keep his feet in bounds.
I know which one
like,
you're talking about. I know exactly
what the F are you doing?
One.
He doesn't even know the rules. He doesn't even know when he needs to get his feet in, when he doesn't need to get his feet in. Like, I think he thought if he didn't get his feet in, it was a... I don't even know, a safety. I don't even know what he was thinking, but he had no idea what was going on that play.
Then that tells you exactly all you need to know about why Javon Baker hasn't been out there running with the first team offense and trying to catch passes or making contributions. I got you. Unless, of course, he was just working on his footwork. Yeah,
ooh,
probably not.
Hey, no. That is actually well spun. That is well spun right there by you mm-hmm. people, optimistic.
Mr.
Like,
yeah, little Pat's positive
pajamas.
For you right there.
Well
pal.
Done.
There you go.
I can acknowledge it. Well done. Nope. Take a bow, Fitzgerald.
Okay, before we get into the trade talk, I want to ask you this. How do you think this game would have looked? Obviously, he was fine, but I had opined for, just in case, taking
Loser.
The safe and safety.
You tree-hugging hippie.
Cautious perk. Well, my God. Jeez. Have a heart, would you?
I am
the question
hard.
Being, how do you think this game would have gone if they started Brissett?
Not well. If they ran for 15 yards with Brissett at quarterback, they would have got mollywopped. As
if you thought May was exhausted after that last play,
no,
we
would have seen Joe Milton. We would have seen Joe Milton because we couldn't block the front, and Jacoby Brissett would have taken more hits, bigger hits, blindside hits, bad hits. We would have seen Joe Milton play today if Jacoby Brissett had to play. I don't know what they were thinking, but they couldn't block Jeffrey Simmons. Form, fashion, anybody.
Yeah,
poor
when
Ben
did
Brown.
All of a sudden he turn? When did he turn into Reggie White 2.0?
Oh, no. He's a really good player.
I know he's a very good football
but
player.
But you're supposed to be a professional. No, Jeffrey Simmons is a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Yes.
But I think you got exposed today. Like, we've been talking up Ben Brown. Oh, is Ben Brown your best offensive lineman? Now you saw, well... Ben Brown has been competitive. Ben Brown's been okay, but it's the same with Vedarian Lowe. I ranted about it the other day when Jerod Mayo, somebody asked him, do you think he could be a long-term solution at left tackle? And Mayo said yes, and I said, no. He looks good based on early season failures and low expectations.
Yeah.
He is not a starting left tackle, a franchise
swing
left tackle.
Swing tackle, Vedarian Lowe.
You want to tell me he's a swing tackle and a backup guy? That's fine, but... That's the reality.
More of a swing and a miss tackle.
Oh, that's a cheap
oh,
shot,
word.
Joe Braverman.
Did,
we don't do that.
Did Andy Hart text that to you and say, this will kill Joe, use this one?
I'll crick it myself.
But, I mean, you have a practice squatter at center. He got treated like a practice squatter. You have a swing left tackle that struggled as a starting. Like, we were back to a defensive front that was very much able to take care take advantage of your weakness, which is offensive line.
The best of all the units on the field today, the best one by far was the Titans defensive line.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. 100%. And you also you saw that they had a professional receiver in Calvin Ridley. He's a professional receiver.
Westbrook Akine looked better than any of our receivers today as well.
Well, I can't say it any more strongly. These guys can all pound sand. Like, that, none of them is valuable right now. None of them is productive. None of them looks like a professional. None of them looks like somebody you can rely upon. I've said it. We talked about it with Giardi the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these guys are playing to prove that this team doesn't need a complete reset at the wide receiver position. Try to claim a job, claim a jersey, claim a locker spot for 2025. Because right now, I am not seeing much from any of them, and that is disappointing.
All right, the trade deadline is fast approaching, Andy. We are T-minus less than 48 hours until the NFL says, stop, that's it, get your trades in. You can't make no more deals amongst each other. 4:00 on Tuesday, November 5th. Thank God they picked this coming Tuesday. Not much else going on. So let's get to some of the candidates that are likely or not likely to be dealt from your New England Patriots. Let's go back to our inactives today. We had a couple of scratches. Two of them had been mentioned recently in trade-related tweets from both local and national writers. Kyle Duggar. Kyle Duggar, he had the ankle injury out last week. Once again, just wasn't able to get up to speed today. I can't find anyone with a valid reason or like a solid source that says he's going to be dealt. I can't imagine why. Sounds more to me like people are calling just to check in to see if there's a chance they could pry him away from the Patriots. What do you think?
So Pete Schrager said he's not going anywhere. He listed him among guys that have sort of been talked about that really aren't going to go anywhere. I'll believe him. I think there have been discussions. He shouldn't go anywhere. It would be a really bad sign for me. In terms of what the hell Elliot Wolf is doing. You chose to re-sign him, and Jabril Peppers may never play for this team again. Who knows how the Jabril Peppers thing plays out.
Or in the NFL.
And if you lose Peppers and decide to lose Duggar, well, why'd you sign him? It would make no sense to me. He's supposed to be a young foundational piece of this defense and of this team. So unless somebody wants to blow me away, like if you offer a first round pick for Kyle Duggar, I'll drive him to the airport and wish him well in his future endeavors. But
he can pick whichever one. Logan,
right?
TF Green, fine.
Other than that, I mean, I don't even know if I would take a second round pick for Kyle Duggar.
I wouldn't. No, he's 28.
Like, I've paid him. He's a solid player for me. He has his warts. I think if you ever pair him with a proper free safety, I think he would get even better. I think the times he gets exposed is when he's too deep on the field, trying to cover guys that he shouldn't be covering, kind of out of position. But no, I think Kyle Duggar's staying where he is, because if he isn't, that'd be like if you said, oh, they're also going to trade on Wenu. Excuse me? What'd you say? Like, what'd you do this spring?
You got buyer's remorse on that one, too?
Yeah. So, no, I think Duggar's staying put.
Yeah, same as well. How about also a healthy scratch today on the inactives? How about wide receiver KJ Osborne?
Na 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 na, na 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 na. Hey hey hey, goodbye. Yeah. I don't know whether he gets traded because I'm not sure you can get anything for him, but I think he gone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He gone.
That's
yep,
it.
You nailed
for him.
It. He gone.
He gone. That's it. KJ Osborne. If he didn't play today, healthy scratch. That's the kind of somebody that could go to another team that loses a Steph Diggs or a healthy wide receiver that's looking to compete, looking to contend, rather.
Yep.
I could see him going to Houston. I could see him going to Kansas City, San Francisco, any place.
Houston would be a good one because old friend Nick Caserio, there's a working relationship between the buildings. And I don't think he's
What if you get a six for him? Wouldn't that be excellent?
If I get anything for him, I would call that excellent. Anything. Seven.
Can I get a fifth and send him in a seventh?
I mean, again, if I can get anything for him, yes, I would do any of these things. If you give me a dime, give me
All
a nickel.
Right. Speaking of giving me a dime or a nickel, how about the legend of 11? That's right. Taquan Thornton.
I think he's probably here the rest of the year.
Because they can't get anyone to take him.
Right. I don't think anyone would take him. And I don't know that you're just going to start getting rid of all your receivers, even though they're not doing anything and they may be showing no value. So I think he's probably here for the rest of the year, and you hope maybe Drake May hits him with a deep ball at some point or something. I don't know. Well, he did hit him with a deep ball, and it bounced off his chest.
I would say it bounced off his face chest, yes. Hey, Andy, so Taquan Thornton's a third-year professional receiver, or so I'm told. How many – you and Braverman can guess. Text line, go ahead, 37937 as well. How many catches do you think Taquan Thornton has to date as a member of the Patriots?
10.
Higher. Joe, first guess.
First guess, if you just said higher, 15.
Two and a half seasons.
15.
Higher.
12. He's got more than 15
okay,
catches.
I said higher than 15, and you guessed 12.
Right.
I know you
didn't hear
you.
I
thought there was
first.
No math on the show.
19.
Jack. You sure this is right? I feel like I would have remembered more of these.
Taquan Thornton has, in his two and a half seasons with your New England Patriots, 39 receptions.
Wow. That's way more than I can remember or thought or care about.
Guy, that means he's averaging 15 receptions a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, he did miss
not even that his yards per reception are so great. He's only averaging 9.9 yards per reception.
Oh, no.
For somebody with track star speed, Willie Gault 2.0, who's supposed to be a field stretcher, these Baylor receivers in the NFL stink.
A lot of them do. A lot of them underachieve coming out of Baylor in that system. Also, I would say he's the ultimate tease because two out of the three prior preseasons, I thought he looked pretty good on the practice field and at times, like, and he kind of lured me into thinking he might be able to turn it around, but
you even
I'm
told
done.
Us to take the cheese this summer.
I am done. I'm done. I was wrong. I don't have to say it very often because I'm not wrong very often, but I was wrong. Tyquan Thornton,
so you were
stinks.
Just wrong now, but that's
he's never going to do anything. He needs to go, but I don't think you can get rid of him. You probably are stuck with him till the end of the year, and then you can let him go.
You can't just flat out release him now and just say, like, we're going to cut bait and give the other guys an opportunity, because they only really threw to three receivers today. Polk was too busy getting penalties called on him, so he didn't have any real targets. It was all Bourne, Douglas, and Booty today.
Yeah.
And those are your guys. Mark Daniels tweeted out, here's their five receivers warming up, and it was Bourne, Douglas, Booty, Javon Baker, and Jalen Polk. That's the five you're going to run with the rest of the season. KJ Osborne's going to get traded. Thornton is just going to be a healthy scratch. He's going to end up mimicking, you know, receiver one from every team that they play in practice. So great, he'll be an awesome practice asset. Sweet.
Maybe.
Not
is that asset or asshat?
Both.
Seems kind of close in that pronunciation. I just want to make sure what you were calling him. I believe if they keep rolling out these receivers with regularity, I do think you're going to have Drake May just in. I texted this out at one. I tweeted it out. Mm-hmm. F it, I'll do it myself mode. Just realizing I kind of got
to
do it.
But that's what he did today. That's kind of what he's going to have to continue to do.
If you keep rolling those guys out, it'll be F it, I'll do it myself, except when I'm throwing to Ramondre Stevenson or Hunter Henry. That's all he
How
can
about
look
Marcus
to.
Jones? Can we get Marcus Jones some more
touches?
Oh,
I'll take
him. Guy? Anytime the guy touches the ball, electric things happen.
Yeah, he also continues to show he's not a great corner. I really believe he's a slot receiver and a punt returner. I really do. I don't think he's a great corner.
Let's continue that, even though Tyreek Hill thinks otherwise. But, you know, what does that guy know? 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue that discussion on the other side. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Cars for Kids, player of the game. Coming up, it's all here on the Six Rings Postgame Show, brought to you by McFarland Energy on WEEI.
Yeah, I understand what the Patriots are trying to do with Drake May. He's a very talented quarterback. He can run the football. He can throw the football. Yeah, and he is their future. They're trying to get him ready for the future. But Drake May's got to understand, hey, this is a physical, violent game. You've got to protect yourself. You've got to be able to slide. You've got to stay out of harm's way. If you continue to run the football and you continue to take hits, you're not going to last in this league. So protect yourself, Drake May.
That was on halftime, the halftime show on Fox. Coach Jimmy Johnson talking about Drake May and a need to protect himself and make sure that he can go long haul and he's in the league for a long time and not exposing himself on some of these scoots, end arounds, and panic runs, or rather, I don't know, I guess you want to call them self-preservation runs that he's so good at, but still not sliding early enough and taking some big hits. Andy, what did you think about what Jimmy Johnson had to say, though? Does that go against the grain and programming of Drake May, or is that like a sound and fundamentally cautious approach from someone who's been around the league a while?
I think it was a little reactionary and over the top, and maybe, relative to a guy who had Troy Aikman and didn't live the life of a running quarterback. And, for example, you know, if I could get I would love to see Sean McDermott break down Drake May's tape and get his perspective. He's lived the life of Josh Allen. What would he think about what Drake May did? Because Drake May's going to get, I said it earlier, I think Jacoby Brissett would have got knocked out of the game. Like, Drake May can get hit in the backfield or he can get hit 15 yards downfield. You choose, coach, right? Like, and I know there's some throwaways probably in there at some point, but I just, he's a competitor. He's an athlete. He's what you drafted. He's what you got. And I didn't really think he put himself in it, more harm's way than was necessary today.
There was one time he didn't go down and took on two dudes, and he got popped about 20 yards down the field.
He's a big athlete.
How many times were you watching the game and going, oh, no, don't do that?
Hit of the day was in the pocket. He got thrown to the turf, and his head bounced off the side of the turf. His biggest hit of the day was in the pocket. So I'll take Drake May in space down the field way more often than I will against Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry and any of these guys up front that could actually knock him out of the game. I'd much rather see him against safeties and corners and linebackers than D-linemen.
How many teams do you think in the league right now, if they had a chance, would gladly swap their QB for Drake May?
I asked Arcan this the other day, and I think there would be a pretty good response of teams that would make that swap.
Dallas,
half the league?
Dallas Cowboys, yes. New York Giants, obviously, yes.
Yes.
Packers, no.
Jets, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But let me go division by division so I don't forget somebody. We're in the NFC first.
Grandpa.
But do you want an organized post-game show, or do you want the absolute Black Friday at Walmart chaos?
When has this been an organized post-game show?
This is the organized version?
Why don't you go ahead and organize the next one there, tough guy?
I got you something you can organize right here.
See,
right
wow,
under my desk.
Oh, good. Good to know that the next post-game show is going to be real mature. Jesus.
All right, go back to your list. Go ahead. Right. How many up to?
Oh, yeah. You want to call it a little list, too?
Yeah.
Okay, Bears.
Wait, how many are we up to? Wait, how many fingers you got?
Two so far. I'm keeping track. Now I'm going through the NFC North. Lions, no. Packers, no. Bears, no. Vikings?
I don't know.
Not because
I don't know what they
JJ
think of J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, they might like him.
Only
a lot.
Two.
Yep.
NFC South, Baker Mayfield.
Yes, they would take him. I think they would, yeah, long-term, young. The whole thing.
Kirk the Jerk, no, probably not, because they need to see what they got in Penix.
Yep.
Saints, yes.
Yes. Four. Carolina, yes.
Yes, that's five. NFC five. West, Brock Purdy, you got a real Purdy quarterback. Nope.
I'll say no.
Cardinals.
No. I'll say no.
Rams.
I'll say yes.
Really? Just because of Stafford's age?
There was rumors they wanted to trade him, so yeah, I think long-term...
they thought they could get something for him.
I think long-term they'd rather have Drake May.
Okay, and last but not least, the Seahawks.
Yes.
So that's seven in the NFC. Back to the AFC. Dolphins?
Yes.
I say yes.
Yes.
Jetropolitans?
Yes.
Without question.
That's nine.
Buffalo? No, because the best version of what we hope that Drake May turns into is already there.
Yep.
So we have seven so far?
Nine. There was seven
plus
in
two
the
is
NFC.
Nine.
Jesus.
Bengals?
No.
Browns?
Yes.
Ten.
Yep.
Ravens? No. Steelers?
Yes.
11.
11.
All right, out of the AFC South. Texans?
No.
No. Colts?
Yes.
That's 12. Jaguars?
No.
Barely. That is a no-ish.
No, actually, it's probably a yes if they get out from underneath the contract and get the rookie deal, Drake May.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We'll do 11 and a half on that, or 12 and a half.
We're at 12 and a half. 12.5, a triggering number in Pat's Nation, 12.5. Last team in the AFC South is?
Titans,
that's 13 and a half, yes.
13 and a half.
AFC West, Chargers, no. Chiefs, yes. JK. Raiders, yes, that's 14 and a half. And your final team, Raiders.
Broncos.
Would they take him over Bo Nix? I would say yes.
No. I'm going to say they love Bo Nix, so.
All right, so 14 and a half. So basically half the
league.
Let's
go 15.
At this point
we'll give the Broncos a half as well.
15. Yeah, okay, let's half them up.
That way so one of those is a four.
Half your league, Andy, would take Drake May at this point.
You can't have him. It is literally half the league because you're the 16th team, and you would take him.
Correct.
So. 16 of 32 teams would take Drake May right now.
Half of your league would take
Drake
May.
I like dem apples right there.
Whoa. Again, some of these it's the surges of passive aggressiveness that really just sort of catch me off guard.
Fitzy, I don't think you understand how happy I am to have a quarterback.
I know.
I'm very good mathematically. Got a perfect PSAT mathematically.
Got your PSAT right here.
Right here. I don't think you understand how happy I am to be entertained. First of all, I like to be right, and I thought Drake May was a stud as of last October. I wanted him. I got
him. More so than I think most of us could have imagined.
Correct. And I was all in. I made the Josh Allen comparisons immediately. People told me I was stupid. And we're seeing it before our eyes. And it's fun. Football is fun. Watching football wasn't great in the first half, but it was fun because the rest of the team stinks. It's not his fault. He runs around and does his best. And his best just isn't good enough right now because of all the idiots around him. But the reality is you have a franchise quarterback, and that is such a massive first step. Now, I just wish I had as much faith in Elliott Wolf to do his job in the coming seasons as I do Drake May to do his. That's my concern. You have a pick that's going to be super valuable. If you F this up, you could kind of F up Drake May's next few years, and I don't want to see that. They need to maximize the pick and the draft and the money around Drake May, because I'm on board, Fitzy. This can be a fast turnaround if they spend that money and draft picks correctly.
Just a gentle reminder to everyone as we get to the top of the 7 o'clock hour here on the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. As of right now, according to our friends at Tankathon.com, your New England Patriots are sitting on the first overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft. And if you get more games like today the rest of the way with not really a winnable game, an easy game, I mean, come on, they're 2-7 for God's sakes. And the games we thought that they could or should have won, like that Miami game, like the Jaguars game, and like today's game in Tennessee against, quite honestly, an inferior Titans team. What a mess that team is. But so are you, I guess. There's a very good chance the Patriots could come in under their four-game win projection. Is 3-14 going to get the first overall pick for the team, or are they going to have to go, is 2-15 the only way they get it?
I feel like two wins is probably the safest path to the number one pick, but I just don't know. There's some bad football teams, and you need to remember late in the year there will be worse football teams. The bad teams will be playing young players. The bad teams, who knows at quarterback for the bad teams, and I think you could have some, you know, late season scores that sway this in the direction of one team or another. And even the Patriots, Elliott Wolf promised that they were going to play younger players later in the year. They were going to trend younger toward the end of the season. So maybe you're right. Maybe we're going to get all the, maybe Wallace and Robinson will be out there on the line, and maybe all those receivers will be out there, and who knows what that chaos could lead to for them. And I think it might be similar for some other. Tennessee, you know, tell me they may not be chaos late in the year. Carolina's going to be chaos.
They want a quarterback.
Yeah, they could trade up to you. That's why you got to get that number one pick. It's so important.
The Six Rings postgame show, as always, brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as HVAC services. It's all available to you at McFarlandEnergy.com. All right, Andy, as we home stretch it here on the Six Rings postgame show, let's get us some thumbs up and thumbs down. The people that made it and tried to break it today in Patriots at Titans.
So the ultimate thumb up for both entertainment value, the value he brought to his football team, the value he brought to the postgame presser, Drake May was all up. And I don't want to hear all the whining about a couple turnovers and those things. It's going to come. With a bad football team and a young player, that's going to come. Drake May was your offense today. Drake May was your guy. I thought Gonzo had a good game in those matchup of zeros. Zero versus zero, Ridley versus Gonzo. I thought Gonzo had a good game out there. I thought, and I would need to go back and watch the tape a little bit, but I thought Keon White was very active. I thought he was very, very active.
And what a horse crap call on that horse collar tackle, too.
Oh, I thought that was a pretty good call. I thought that was a horse collar.
Get out of here.
Other than the hold on Tavai, I didn't think the Patriots had anything to complain about. What's his name? Hawkins nearly killed a guy 5 minutes after the play ended, and they picked up the flag. And I thought White actually, was it White or Wise? One of them got away with a kind of headbutt driving into the quarterback after he was on the ground. But I thought Keon White was very active. They need Keon White to be active. He is kind of the only guy that brings energy to that front as a pass rusher. I know Dietrich Wise had the nice stand-up sack, but I think White was active and he needs to be. Hunter Henry, he's the adult in the wide receiver slash tight end room, the pass catcher.
He's kind of the most consistent attendee of the thumbs up list this season.
He's had a really good season. He's a good player who's had a really good season. Unfortunate he didn't, that little out and up down the sideline scramble play, the ball was right there for Drake May. It's a tough play for a tight end. I think if that's a wide receiver, well, a real wide receiver, not one
a
of
wide receiver on most other teams.
Most teams would catch that. That's a tough spot for a tight end like Hunter Henry, but he had a good day. Marcus Jones, as a punt returner, had two big punt returns. He continues to show you that he's a dynamic weapon in that area. Kickoff coverage led by Brendan Schooler. They put the ball on the ground twice. Nothing to show for it, but they put the ball on the ground twice with some big pops down there. So Jeremy Springer's group doing a good job on that. And then I don't know what I'm going to – I can't even read my own writing. Let's go to thumbs down then because they were
– All right. I think there was one more transition.
One more thumb up, but it's scribbled, so I don't know who the hell it was supposed to be. Thumbs down. A guy who's usually on the thumbs up list, Bryce Behringer, stunk. Twice he shanked it. Shanked it.
Maybe Mayo's comments about him blasting it down the field are still creeping into his psyche.
It was very – and that first one – he knew immediately, like it barely hit his foot and he had like his hands on his head and he's hanging his head. He knew what he had done. The run defense was terrible. And I put everybody in this. Jelani Tavai was almost on the thumbs up list because he had a bunch of tackles. He obviously had the right place, right time interception. But I thought he missed some tackles and he led a group that missed a lot of tackles. Tony Pollard had a lot of yards after contact. As I said,
leads the league now in it, Andy.
Those little, thanks to the Patriots, those little hesitation runs where it was like pitter-patter, burst, pitter-patter, pitter-patter, burst, he did a good job with. So I would put tackling in there. Marcus Jones at cornerback, I thought. Actually, both Joneses at corner because Jonathan kind of got toasted on that touchdown.
He didn't have a great game after I gave him his flowers on the pregame show as well.
So let's put both Joneses on the thumbs down list.
Quick question also, has Sione Takitaki done anything since he came back?
They put him on camera once today, and I was like, hey, who's that guy? And then I was like, oh, that's Takitaki. And my son goes, I thought he was supposed to be good. And I was like, yeah, I thought so too, but apparently not. I would put Mapu in that same range. I thought Mapu was supposed to be good. I haven't really seen him do much overly productive. Again, haven't broken down the film. This is just sort of like a first superficial watching of the game, but I thought he was bad. And certainly the offensive line, Ben Brown, Vidarian Lowe, that whole group, certainly Ben Brown struggled. And you know, bad matchup, but I still, you're a professional, right? I pay you to fight these matchups and not get embarrassed. Too many penalties, too many missed blocks, the combo blocks. They really couldn't do anything with Jeffrey Simmons, and Ben Brown was in the middle of all of that. And then the running backs, Ramondre Stevenson. I'm not saying you had a lot to work with, but I paid you like a top 10 back, right? Jerod Mayo tells me you're a top 10 back. And you averaged 1.6 yards per carry today. I'm going to need more than that. Sorry, bud.
All right. And before we go to break, once we go to break, when we come back, we'll bring you the best of Coach Jerod Mayo and Drake May and their postgame pressers. In case you missed that earlier on in the Six Rings postgame show, reminder, you can also subscribe to the Six Rings and Football Things podcast to get the postgame show at your leisure, as well as all of our podcast analyses and conversations during the course of the week. It is a Patriots Monday tomorrow as well. Drake May will be on the afternoon program. You'll have Coach Mayo at the 9 o'clock hour on the Greg Hill Show. A couple interviews with the boys on Keefe and Jones during the midday, so don't miss any of it. We'll give you the Cars for Kids player of the game. Of course, Cars for Kids is the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K, 1-877 Cars for Kids. Andy, I got to say, I think it was trending in the direction of Hunter Henry up until the final play of the game. And then wham, just absolutely seizing the narrative, almost saving the day, and definitely taking home another Cars for Kids player of the game would be your quarterback, your crush, he who you stand as the maniac in residence of the South Coast, Drake.
Absolutely. He, you know, Henry has been really consistently good, and he didn't have any of those little brain fart false starts that have popped up a couple times this season. So Hunter Henry had a great day. But in terms of trying to put the team on his back and carry them in his fourth NFL start, the runs, the throws, the whole damn thing, the only thing that sucked about that throw after 11.82 seconds or whatever it was, it's too bad it wasn't a game winner, that wasn't the game winning points. It would have been nice to see.
That's why I got upset about the INT in overtime. I wanted him to get the win. He deserved it for that effort. It was Herculean.
No, but I mean in the moment. I wanted to see Ramondre Stevenson run over to him and dive on Drake May and just have a big pile of celebration in the middle of the field, because that was a pretty special moment. But hey, He's putting together the recruiting videos. The plays are piling up. The desire for others to want to play with Drake May, just like there's already reports, people want to play with Jaden Daniels in Washington, that there is an allure with him. I think there's going to be a growing allure with Drake May, and today was a pretty nice step in that direction.
I like the way you're spinning it positive. Pat's positive looking forward, my friend. Joe Braverman, great job as always. He's at Jumbo Heart. I'm at Fitzy GFY. He'll be back tomorrow with you from 2 to 6 on the WEEI Afternoon Show. And we'll wrap up a Patriots Monday 6 to 7:30 before Monday Night Football tomorrow. Me and Mego. Got a couple commercials coming at your way and a little trending sports news from Joe Braverman. And when we come back, it's the best of May and Mayo to wrap up today's Six Rings and Football Things postgame show. Next Sunday, it's Andy Hart and I believe John Lyons. Once again, I believe it's Andy Hart and John Lyons. Could also be some Chris Scheim as well. I'll be off. I'll actually be in Chicago attending the Bears-Patriots game, taking my son to his first road game as well. That's going to be a good time for everybody. All right, let's go to commercial. Let's do some of those breaks. And when we come back, the best of May and Mayo to wrap up another Six Rings and Football Things postgame show here on EEI.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.